So welcome to our Saturday Bhagavad Gita class. We are presently on the fourth chapter. So as is our custom, we chant the verses to Krishna. So this fourth chapter, entitled Jnana Yoga, Transcendental Knowledge, is very important because the Lord has revealed many truths about Himself and also about the process of developing knowledge of Him. In the last few Saturdays, you have seen Lord Krishna describing the nature of His descent into this world. Verses starting with Ajopi San Avyayatma, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya, and so on, in which Lord has explained in these very famous verses why and when He descends into this world and what He does after He descends here. And having described this, Lord also explains that there are people who do not wish to worship Him in spite of this, in spite of Him being the Supreme Lord and the most worshipable object. Still there are people who worship the demigods, the devis and the devatas, out of ignorance, because they seek temporary material benefits. The demigods, they quickly award the results of the worship of their worshippers. So therefore, materialistic people, they worship the devis and devatas. We are all familiar with this. Monday this vrat, Tuesday that vrat, Wednesday this temple, Thursday that temple, Friday this devi, Saturday that devata. So all this is called karma kanda, the process of materialistic dharma. It is not real dharma. It is just some kind of impure dharma. So from the point of view of the Bhagavata dharma, the path of bhakti, these kind of religions are considered kaitava dharma, cheating religion. Because in the name of religion, people actually only increase their materialistic way of life, increase their sinful life. They want to enjoy more and more rather than becoming devoted to God. Then having explained this, now we will discuss the 13th verse where Lord Krishna explains a very, very important concept of how He has divided this world of human beings for some purpose. So let us read this verse. We will all chant. Please repeat after me. Text number 13. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidyakartaram avyayam chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. So would anyone like to chant? Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of the system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. Kindly repeat. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. So this is a very important verse because Lord Krishna has described here how he has divided the human society into four varnas, chatur varnyam. And this, Lord Krishna says, is his creation. He has made this division. Maya srishtam, it is my creation. And what is it based on? It is based on guna karma vibhagashah. This vibhaga or these divisions are based upon guna and karma. Guna means quality. Now the word varna also means color. So color is a kind of quality of an object. You can say this is maroon cover, this is black cover, this is white cover. So you describe the quality of some object with reference to color also. So this world also has three qualities, the three gunas, sattvagun, rajagun and tamagun. And these three qualities or gunas characterize everything in this world. Whatever you take, whether it's a plant or whether it's the atmosphere, whether it is food, kind of clothing, the time of the day or night, the seasons, the place, the circumstances, everything is touched by these colors or these qualities. The three gunas, sattva guna called the mode of goodness, raja guna called the mode of passion, and tama guna called the mode of ignorance. Just like you have three primary colors, red, yellow and blue, and you can mix them in unlimited ways to form unlimited colors. All the colors that we see in existence are simply various permutations and combinations of these three basic primary colors, red, yellow and blue. Similarly, everything, all the variety, the variegatedness that we see in the world around us, the different species of life, the different climates, the different bodily structures, the different mentalities, the different work, all these things are made possible by different combinations of sattvagun, rajagun and tamagun. So based upon how these three gunas are influencing certain individual human beings, the human society is divided according to that. And according to what guna is influencing a particular person, he will act accordingly. If someone is influenced by sattvagun, he will act in a certain way. If someone is influenced by rajagun, he will act in another way. Someone influenced by tamagun will act in a third way. Someone influenced by a mixture of sattvagun and rajagun will act in yet another way. People may be influenced by different mixtures of sattvagun and rajagun. Someone 10 and 90, someone 20 and 80, all will act in different ways. So the karma or the activities that a person performs will be determined by what gunas he is being influenced by, or what combination of gunas he is being influenced by. So the four divisions, chatur varnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah, these four divisions are determined by the guna, that means sattva guna, raja guna, tama guna. And as a result of these gunas, what kind of work a particular person is inspired to do. So it is this guna and karma that determines these four divisions. Therefore, these four divisions are always existing in human society. They have always existed and they are existing now in seed form, and they will always exist in the future. They exist in all countries of the world, in all civilizations, in all cultures. It is not that this is a peculiar feature of only Hinduism, Brahman, Kshatriya, this and that. No. It is a universal classification based upon one's nature, based upon one's propensity, based upon one's mentality, based upon one's work, one's tendencies. So these are universal classifications. So this varna is a social classification, the classification of society according to different mentalities of people. Lord Krishna has also divided the society into four ways, four other ways from another angle of vision. from the spiritual point of view. This is from a social point of view. The four varnas are the four categories of people in human society based on social order, social classification. But from the spiritual point of view also, based upon spiritual development, Lord Krishna has also divided this society into four divisions called ashramas. So together it is called a varnashram system. The four varnas, as you know, are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the four social classifications. And the four spiritual classifications are Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. Brahmachari means one who is a student, who is living in the house of the Guru. Guru Brahmachari, Guru Kule Vasan. He studies, he serves the Guru, he performs austerities, and then when he reaches a certain age, if he so wishes, he may get married and enter Grihastha Ashram. Then there he will perform some occupational duties, earn his livelihood, maintain his family, perform yajna, perform tapasya, perform dana, give charity, and in this way he will spend many years. Then when the age comes, then he will retire. Panchashortham vanam vrajet. So when he reaches 50 years of age, he will retire from business activity, from professional activity, from worldly activity, and he will go to the forest to perform austerities. And then finally he will take sannyas, where he will be totally renounced and detached from the world. So these four classes are based upon spiritual development of the person. So this is the spiritual orders. But the four orders that Lord Krishna is talking about in this verse are the social orders, the four varnas. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So together, these varnas and ashramas, they constitute what is called varnashrama dharma. It is also called Sanatana dharma. This is the original dharma of not only this land of Bharatvarsha, but it is the original dharma of the whole world. It is the original dharma of the whole human race. It is the original dharma of the whole universe. And it is always there in every creation of the universe. Nowadays, we have the word Hindu. But this word Hindu does not exist in the scripture, in any of the Vedic scriptures. The original name of the dharma that we today call Hinduism is Varnashram Dharma or Sanatana Dharma, not Hinduism. The name Hinduism was given by the Persian and other Arabic invaders who came to India from the western side in the region of what is today Pakistan. The river Sindhu or the Indus flows there from the Himalayas. It goes into the sea, into the Arabian Sea. You remember from your school geography, you can remember the map, how the Sindhu Indus River is flowing through present-day Pakistan. And when they came to the Sindhu River, then all the people who were following Sanatana Dharma in that region, and especially on the other side, they called them Hindus because they could not pronounce Sindhu properly. So Sindhu, that was the name of the river, because the people living near there and beyond, they called them Hindus. And the land where they lived became Hindustan. So that is how this word Hindu came. Otherwise, the word Hindu has no scriptural origin. The original name of the dharma is Varnashrama Dharma, because it is a dharma wherein the human society is classified into these four varnas and four ashrams, which have been created by the Supreme Lord Krishna Himself. So the question arises, Krishna has said, Maya Srishtam, it is my creation. So why has Lord Krishna created this? Lord Krishna has created these divisions so that human beings can make progress in spiritual life. Very simple. This division has been created so that every human being can advance from material consciousness to divine spiritual consciousness. It has been made so that every human being can rise from the animal platform to the human platform to the divine platform. Only a human society, truly speaking, can have Varnashram Dharma. These classifications don't exist in the animal species. Although some basic tendencies are there, even in the dog society you will find somebody is a leader. He is like the kshatriya there, he will be the boss leader of the dog pack. Everyone will follow him. So some little influence of the modes is there. But you don't find that somebody among the dog community is an intellectual, somebody is a professor, somebody is a businessman. You don't find in the animal society. But these classifications are here in the human society. Similarly, the ashrams do not exist in the animal society. There is no concept of the institution of marriage in animal life. And there is no concept of studenthood. They don't go to any school or go to guru to learn anything. Neither there is any concept of renunciation, vairagya. So any society which does not focus on gradual spiritual development, which does not follow the rules and regulations of these four ashrams, and which does not understand how the society has to be divided according to guna and karma, such a society will always be situated on the materialistic platform. They have no idea or conception of anything spiritual, anything higher than simply sense gratification, which is available even for the animals. So a human society without varnashram dharma is animal society. So human society means varnashram dharma. And varnashram dharma is meant to cultivate that awareness of a higher purpose in life. Human being, a human form of life, is a very special gift of God, so that we can understand God, come out of the cycle of birth and death, and go home to the kingdom of God at the end of this life. This is the purpose of the varnashram dharma. So if we don't follow the varnashram dharma, we will never be able to achieve God. Or even if we follow this varnashram dharma, but only in a ritualistic way, only in a mechanical way, only in an external way, just for show, or just for the sake of following the rules and regulations, without knowing the purpose behind them, that also is fruitless. The actual purpose of the varnashram dharma is mentioned in many places in the shastras. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained, Atah Pumbir Dvija Shrestha Varnashrama Vibhagashah Svanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. O great sages, the purpose of the whole varnashrama system, the purpose of any human being performing the rules and regulations of the varna or the ashram in which he is to please the Supreme Lord Sri Hari or Sri Krishna. Samsiddhi, the perfection of performing all the occupational duties of the varnas and ashramas, is that they should please Lord Krishna. That means they should become his devotees. They should live their life only for him. So all the different varnas and ashramas are meant for ultimately only one purpose. That is to realize God, to serve him, to please him, and to love him. That is the higher common spiritual duty of all human beings, regardless of what varna and what ashram they fall into. So spiritual duty is common for all. But the material duties, that means daily duties on a material platform, will depend upon guna and karma. So if one is a Brahman, one has a certain nature, therefore the Shastra prescribes certain duties. The Kshatriya will be given different set of duties. The Vaishya and Shudra also will be given different sets of duties, which we will briefly describe as we go along today. Similarly, the four ashrams, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, they are also given different duties and responsibilities, and the activities they have to perform are also correspondingly different. So on the material platform, these four orders and these four ashrams, they have to perform different activities with different responsibilities. But spiritually, they have one goal, since they are all human beings. And since ultimately they are all spirit souls, Atma, the servant of God. So what exactly is these four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra? In the Srimad Bhagavatam and also elsewhere, the varnashram system, or the division of the human society into these four varnas, is compared to the human body. The Brahmanas are compared to the head or to the brain. The Kshatriyas are compared to the arms. The Vaishyas are compared to the belly or the stomach. The Shudras are compared to the legs. Why? Because the Brahmanas are the intellectual class. They have good brain. The Kshatriya Vaishya may also have good brain. The Kshatriya may have good brain for conquering different countries, for doing good administration of the country. Or the Vaishya may have good brain for business, how to make profit here, how to sell this here, this, that, and get good money. He may have good brain for that. But when we speak of good brain, we mean good brain, pure brain. Pure brain for spiritual realization, spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding. Understanding the higher spiritual reality. Brahma janati iti brahmanaha. One who understands spirit, spiritual substance, he is Brahmana. So therefore the intellectual class who has the brain and who has spiritual knowledge and who can therefore guide the society, they are called Brahmanas. Guide the society according to what principles? According to spiritual principles, according to the Shastra. Not according to their own whims and fancies, like today's leaders are doing. The Brahmanas have studied the Shastra, they have practiced and lived according to the Shastra, and therefore they are able to teach the Shastra, and they are able to apply the wisdom of the Shastra in practical cases, in daily situations. Whenever in the earlier Vedic times, the kings were in any dilemma or any problem, they would consult the Brahmins. Such and such problem has taken place in the kingdom. Now, my dear respectable Brahmanas, what should I do? What do the Shastras say? What is the dharmic way for me to act in this situation? Then the Brahmanas would talk amongst themselves. They would discuss from the scriptures' point of view. And then they would advise the king that in this condition, it is appropriate for you to act in this way because such and such Shastra says like this. And in the past also, this has been corroborated by great spiritual authorities. So they would guide, and in this way the king would rule. So the Brahmanas means the intellectual class, the intellectual spiritual class who will guide the society according to spiritual principles. And what are their activities according to this kind of tendency? The Brahmanas are those who are governed by Sattva Guna, by the mode of goodness. And because of that, they have these certain qualities and certain activities. Now remember, the word Brahmana is defined according to the Guna. If anybody is under Sattva Guna, he is Brahmana. It doesn't say, if somebody is born in Hindu family, he is Brahmana. Somebody born in India, he is Brahman. No. Anybody born in any part of the world who is under Sattva Guna, he is Brahman. Because if he is truly under Sattva Guna, he will have a certain mentality, a typical mentality, and he will act also in a typical way. So what is the duties of the Brahmana, or what are his activities? In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains in the 18th chapter, Shamo dama tapas shaucham kshantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Brahma karma svabhavajam. The svabhav of the Brahma or the Brahmana and his karma is what? First of all, shamaha is peaceful. By nature, a Brahman is peaceful because he is under Sattva Guna. One of the characteristics of Sattva Guna is peace. Whereas those who are controlled by Rajaguna and Tamaguna are always agitated, never peaceful. Damaha means he has controlled his senses. Tapaha, he performs tapasya, austerities. He doesn't like to lead a comfortable life. Even if you give him a lot of material comforts, he doesn't like it. He will keep it aside. Because his nature is he doesn't like comfort. He likes austerity. His nature is that he's attracted to austere living. Many, many years ago, when Yudhishthir Maharaj wanted to perform Rajasuya Yajna, then he sent out his brother Arjun to search for wealth, because a lot of wealth is required to perform these big yajnas. So Arjuna traveled everywhere and he secured a lot of wealth from different princes and kings. And one place where he went in the Himalayas, he saw a lot of gold and jewels and pearls and precious stones which were dumped there, thrown by many Brahmanas long ago. Because these Brahmins had been given a lot of charity by some kings in the past. And they had got so much of gold and silver and precious things that the Brahmana said, what are we going to do with it? I am a Brahmana, I am supposed to be living austerely, I am supposed to be performing tapasya, austerity for higher spiritual life. What have I got to be doing with all this gold and silver and other things? I have no business dealing with that. Nonetheless, as a Brahmana, his duty was to accept charity. Because if he doesn't accept charity, then to whom will the other Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra give charity? If somebody has to give charity as a duty, then somebody must be there to receive, isn't it? So the Brahmanas are supposed to be the ones to receive the charity. So they received it as a matter of their duty. Because the sixfold duties of the Brahmanas are Pathana, Patana, Yajana, Yajana, Dana, Pratigraha. Yajana, Yajana means they perform Yajna and teach others how to perform yajna or sacrifice. They study the scripture and they teach scriptures to others, patana patana. Dana pratigraha. They receive in charity, they give in charity. It is not that the Brahman only receives in charity, receives and then keeps for himself. That is not Brahman. One who takes and keeps, he is not Brahmana. One who receives and distributes, he is Brahmana. So therefore the Brahmanas would distribute to other people, or they would, if they didn't get somebody to distribute to, they would simply throw it away. So here is an example of how Brahmanas like simple living because of their austerities and they don't like unnecessary material comforts. So shamo dama tapaha shaucham, because of performing all these things they are pure, their hearts are pure because of being influenced by Sattva-gun. Kshanti, they are tolerant. They are extremely tolerant. They are not at all agitated by different unfavorable circumstances. Whether it is hunger or thirst or insult, they are tolerant. Arjavam, they are very honest. One of the principles of Brahmanical behavior is speaking the truth, always being honest. The next quality is Jnanam and Vijnanam, having knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge means theoretical understanding, vijnanam means practical understanding of the situation. Astikyam, religiousness, following religious principles. So these are the nine qualities of a Brahmana. So a Brahmana, because he is influenced by Sattva Guna, will naturally have these qualities that are described by Lord Krishna in that verse. So he will act accordingly. And therefore he is qualified to be the brain of the human society. This is as far as the Brahman is concerned. Then there is a Kshatriya. The Kshatriya is meant Kshatrayate, to protect the Praja, to protect the human society, and not only the human society, all living beings. So therefore he has to be strong. So he is called the arms, because the arms of the body protect the body. Supposing there is some attack, we use the arms to protect ourselves. The Kshatriyas therefore, because their major work is protection, they are compared to the arms. And because of that activity, necessarily the Kshatriyas have to be chivalrous and they have to be fond of engaging in warfare. Warfare means not that anyone who has a quarrelsome nature is a Kshatriya. Anyone who is fighting it every now and then, quarreling, arguing, that person is not necessarily Kshatriya. One who is brave, one who is excited at the prospect of a real battle. Just like a hungry person is looking forward with great expectation to a meal, especially when he sees it in front of him, the Kshatriya, at the prospect of a war or a battle, he becomes very excited. He looks forward to it. That is his nature. His happiness is there. His enthusiasm is there. He wants to fight, but fight bravely. So that is the nature of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya is controlled mostly by the mode of passion, the Rajagun. He may have some tinge of Sattvagun also, but primarily by the Rajagun. And his characteristics are also described by Lord Krishna in the 18th chapter. Shauryam Tejo Dhritir Daksham Yuddhe Cha Api Apalayanam Danam Ishvara Bhavascha Kshatram Karma Svabhavajam. So the first quality of the Kshatriya is Shauryam. Shauri means brave, heroic. He has to be heroic. No one can be a Kshatriya without being heroic. Heroic doesn't mean like film heroes, not that kind of hero. You must be truly heroic. And then Tejaha, you must be powerful. Not just heroic, but you must have that physical power also to do. So a Kshatriya can be understood even by his physical build. When the matter of killing Jarasandh, who was very inimical to Krishna and the Pandavas, came about, it was decided under the suggestion of Uddhav, Krishna's cousin and devotee and friend, that Bhima, Arjun and Krishna should go in disguise as Brahmanas to meet Jarasandh and challenge him to battle, one-to-one combat, so that they could kill Jarasandh. Because if they engage in a prop-scale battle, so many lakhs of soldiers would be killed, so much blood would be shed. So when they went there in disguise as Brahmanas, Bhima and Arjuna, and also they broke open the walls, they didn't go through the gate. They went like Brahmanas, they broke open the whole thing. They went in great heroic style, they went. Not like today when the terrorists come and they will hide, they will throw a bomb and run away and all this kind of thing. No, they wanted battle, but they went in this way, breaking open. And they killed many soldiers on the way very easily and stormed into the cabin, into the palace of Jarasandha. Jarasandha got the news. And then he saw these three people in front of him, and they were dressed as Brahmins. So because they declared themselves as Brahmins, he said, okay, you are Brahmins, you have come to ask for charity, I will give you whatever you like. Even an asur like Jarasandha, because he was a Kshatriya, he was following his dharma of giving in charity to Brahmanas, although he knew that they were not Brahmanas. Why did he know they were not Brahmanas? Firstly, because of their physical build. He saw the marks of the bow on their shoulders. He saw their physical build and said, this is not the build of a Brahman. And then he also saw their activities. He heard of their activities. He got message. He said, a Brahmana doesn't do all this. So he knew in his mind that they were not Brahmanas but Kshatriyas. But simply because they posed themselves as Brahmanas, he was duty bound to give him charity. Such was the nature of the Vedic culture that even a wicked person like Jarasandha, who was inimical to Krishna, he was also following his swadharma of being a Kshatriya in this way. So we can see how great this Vedic culture of Varnashram Dharma was. So therefore Tejaha, a Kshatriya must be powerful also physically. And then he must also be Dhritri, he must have great determination. Not that he attempts some enterprise and gives up halfway. Oh, I am tired now, he loses heart. A Kshatriya doesn't lose heart. He will fight to the end. He will fight to the end till he attains victory or till he dies. So that determination to attain the goal, that must also be there. That was there in Dhruva. Even though he was a 5-year-old boy, he was insulted by his stepmother. And the words of his stepmother pierced him very greatly. And because he had Kshatriya blood flowing through him, so he felt that insult very deeply. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna that for a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. So here was Dhruva, only a 5-year-old boy, but he took this dishonor so much to his heart, he decided, I will go to the forest to perform tapasya, austerity, and attain a kingdom greater than my grandfather's kingdom. What to speak of my father's kingdom? He wanted to avenge this insult. In order to do that, he was so determined. When Narad Muni was sent by Lord Narayan to intercept Dhruva, Narad Muni tried to send him back by so many arguments, by telling him that, look, you are only a small boy, you should not take insults so seriously. Small children, they are scolded and then they forget about it. And the jungle is a very difficult place. There are so many poisonous and dangerous animals and snakes. The climate is so treacherous. There is cold, heat, rain, there is no shelter. There is no proper food available. What are you going to eat? And you are such a small boy, you are a tender boy, you have been accustomed to the life of a palace. So please go home. When you grow up, you can do. But he said, no, I am determined to go. So if you have any good instruction for me, if you can tell me how I can achieve my objective, then please, I shall be happy to accept from you. But if not, you please permit me to go into the forest. So determined. Even a 5-year-old Kshatriya boy was so determined. He did not, even the prospect of going to the forest, which is so dangerous and frightening, even that did not frighten him. So therefore, dhritihi, daksham. Daksham means resourceful. He can get things done. Not that he will try this and try that, how to do, what to do. He will go ahead and he is a doer. He will get things done immediately. Yuddhe cha api apalayanam. Palayanam means running away. Apalayanam means one who doesn't run away. Doesn't run away from where? Yuddhe, from the field of battle. So one of the characteristics of a kshatriya is that he never runs away from a battlefield. That means he has so much courage in battle. There are so many stories of great kshatriyas who fought till the end. And even in Rajasthan, just a few hundred years ago, there was a famous instance of a king came back defeated from battle, and he had wounds on his back, and his queen refused to open the door of the fort to let him in. She said, how come you have wounds on your back? That means you have shown your back to the enemy. That means you have run away from the enemy. Either you defeat them and come back victorious, or your dead body will come here. Which wife would like to speak to her husband like this? So you can see, even the ladies, the kshatriya spirit was so strong that they could see, this is a real thing. He must go and fight to the finish and come. Not like today, 20, 30 years, the terrorist battle will go on and on and on. One bomb here, 5 people die, 50 people die, they will retaliate, they will kill 50 people. It will go on, all innocent people getting killed. This is not the way of battle. Kshatriya battle means fearless in battle, leading from the front. Then the next quality is danam. Danam means charity. A kshatriya by nature is very generous. And when he is pleased, he will give anything. There are so many instances of the kshatriyas giving lakhs of cows and gold and precious things to the bus. And many times, they would even offer to give away their whole kingdom. When Maharaj Dasharatha in Ramayana, he performed the Putra Kama Yajna, then at that time he offered to the Purohits who performed the Yajna his whole kingdom. He said, please take, now it is your property. And he actually handed it over to them. And then the Brahmanas said, we are Brahmanas, what do we have need for kingdom? We don't even own a proper house. We only have small little hut, or maybe we live under a tree to do some penance. We have little ashram in the forest. What are we going to do with this big kingdom? But nevertheless, you have done your duty by giving it to us in charity. We have received it. And now we are giving it back to you. And you rule. So Dasharatha Maharaj took back the kingdom and he ruled under the instructions of the Brahmanas. So the Kshatriyas genuinely were so generous. They would give away whatever personal possession they had, they would give to the last thing they had. When Lord Ram was about to go for exile in the forest, at that time, he told Sita also and himself also, he began distributing all his personal wealth to the Brahmanas. So all the Brahmins were called, and one by one he started giving everything to them, whatever he had. And then finally one Brahmin came late, by which time Lord Ram had already distributed everything. So then the Brahmin demanded, no, you must give me. The Brahmins could go and demand to the king like that. They had those qualities, and the Kshatriyas also had those qualities. So Lord Ram, he smiled at the Brahmin and he gave away whatever his ring, whatever last thing he had on him with him, he gave that also. So Lord Ram had nothing left. And Lord Ram did not think, oh, I have to give this also. This Brahmin had to come so late. The last one thing I had, that also he's taking away. He never thought like that. Generous, big-hearted, they're willing to give anything. And the next thing is Ishvara Bhavascha. Ishvara Bhava. That means leadership quality. He has a quality to lead people. His personality is such that he can command respect, not demand respect. He has that natural quality of leadership. Kshatra karma svabhavajam. This is the qualities or the activities by which a kshatriya or kshatra is known. Then there is the question of a vaishya. Vaishya means a mercantile person. Mercantile person is one who does business. Business means earning money. Earning money for what? For filling the belly, for eating food. So in the social body, the vaishya is compared to the belly or the stomach, because he earns money and he also grows food, which we all need. So in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. So what is the svabhava or the karma of a vaishya or a mercantile man? Krishi, Goraksha and Vanijya. Krishi means agriculture. Goraksha means protecting cows, looking after cows and bulls. And third, Vanijya means simple trade. These are the activities of a vaishya. A kshatriya or a brahman can never do business. And certainly all three, a brahman, a kshatriya, vaishya, should never do a job. But today we can see how everything is so upset. If you see by the kind of activities that are characterizing these four varnas, it is all mixed up today. So the vaishya is one who does these three things: krishi, goraksha, vanijya. So he produces the food, not necessarily that he personally has to go and till the land, but he will get it done through his people, or he may do himself. And he has lots of cows, and he protects them till the end, the slaughterhouse. And vanijya, whatever simple trade. So different varieties of vaishyas are there, different varieties of brahmanas are there, different varieties of kshatriyas are there. So these are the activities of the vaishya. It is a vaishya only, actually speaking, who generates income. The brahmana doesn't generate any income. He simply lives on charity, gives charity. He doesn't do any business, doesn't do any job. The kshatriya, he also doesn't do any business or a job. He just demands money as tax. So the vaishyas will give him tax, because they are earning money. The kshatriya is not earning money, he is simply ruling. And because he is giving protection to the praja, those who are earning money, they will pay in tax in return for the protection they are receiving from the king. And the shudras, there is no question of them earning any money. Paricharyatmaka karma shudrasyapi svabhavajam. For the shudras, the only quality is doing menial work. They will serve the other three varnas, that is the kshatriya, the vaishya and the brahmana. That is the quality of the shudra. So the shudra is influenced by the mode of tamoguna, mode of ignorance, whereas the vaishya is influenced by the mixed modes of rajagun and tamagun. So anyone who has that kind of influence on him will have this business, but tamagun largely, predominantly, he will have the shudra quality. Of course, the qualities of these and descriptions of these four varnas are very elaborate in the shastra, but today we will not discuss all that. We have given only a glimpse to show how these things are automatically divided in the human. One must have that guna and that karma to be called a brahman or a kshatriya. One does not become a brahman by wearing a 1 rupee sacred thread or by simply being born in a brahman family. It is a matter of cultivating the qualities. If one was born in a brahman family but did not have the qualities of a brahman, or one did not perform the activities that are appropriate for brahmanas, then one would be called a brahma bandhu. Just like Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama performed a very heinous act. He killed the sleeping sons of Draupadi. So it was very terrible. A brahmana never performed such an act. Srimad Bhagavatam, he was referred to as Brahma Bandhu, a friend of the twice born, friend of the brahmanas. That means not really a brahmana. Born in Brahman family, but not really a brahman. But today, unfortunately, this principle of guna and karma has been forgotten. and therefore the whole Varnashram system has become contaminated. It has become distorted, perverted. And today in Kali Yuga, the principle of Janma or birth has become the main thing. Janma is supposed to determine whether you are Brahmin, Kshatriya or whatever. So this is a wrong conception. Although, yes, birth has an important place to play, no doubt. Why? Because according to one's karma of previous life, one is born in a certain family, a Brahmin family, Kshatriya family, etc. So if one is born in a certain situation, that does indicate that one has earned that by virtue of one's previous karma in the previous life. And also, when one is born in a certain kind of family, one is at an advantage. If one is born in a Brahmin family, that Brahmana's son is exposed to the Brahminical culture and atmosphere. He sees his father, he sees his family members acting in certain ways, behaving in certain ways. So he also automatically copies, he follows. And it becomes easier for him to develop those traits. So being born in a Brahmin family is an opportunity that the child receives to become a Brahmin. But doesn't mean that he automatically becomes a Brahmin by being born in a Brahmin family. Just like a child, a son born to a doctor, doesn't automatically become a doctor. It is only when he passes school, goes to medical college, passes out from medical college, then he will become a qualified doctor. But nevertheless, when he is brought up in a family of doctors, right from childhood he is being exposed to this medicine, that medicine, patients are coming, father is giving this treatment, that treatment. So his interest in that field may get aroused. He may right from childhood start doing some studies, he may start doing some investigation on medical things. So already that nature starts getting developed because of that family environment. So although that child is not a doctor because he's a doctor's son, but he has an advantage because of being born in that atmosphere, in that family. Ultimately, however, he must go through medical college to become a doctor. In the same way, birth is significant only to the extent that it is a good opportunity for us to develop those qualities by virtue of that association in that family. But that's all. More than that, it is up to that individual to actually qualify himself by acting in that way to become really a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or whatever. So this is a very, very important point. Today, because everything is mixed up, therefore there is no Varnashram Dharma possible today. Today we find, if you just study these four characteristics of these four Varnas, try to analyze a society. What kind of work is being done by what kind of people? Today, first of all, most people are in Tamaguna. Therefore, by definition, they are Shudras. Most people in the world today. Therefore, it is described Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. In Kali Yuga, most people are Shudra. Some Vaishyas are also there, who have some business tendency, very strong business propensity. Bas, Kshatriyas, real Kshatriyas, hardly anyone. Nobody. And Brahmanas, not at all. Real Brahmanas. So today, therefore, we are in a very lamentable situation that we only have Shudras and some Vaishyas. It is like saying that there is a body, human body, with only the legs and the stomach, but no brain. So what will be the condition of such a person? He is also mentally retarded, practically no brain, but very sturdy legs and good big stomach. What is the use of such a body? Similarly, any human society which doesn't have a brain to guide it, where will it go? Andha yathandhe rupagiyamana. The blind leading the blind will fall into a ditch. So therefore Srila Prabhupada said, one of the purposes of this Krishna consciousness movement is to create Brahmanas. That means to create an intellectual class who knows spiritual principles so that they can guide the rest of the world. Then under the guidance of these new generation of Brahmanas, real Brahmanas, then Kshatriyas can develop. Those who have some Kshatriya tendency, they can flower under the guidance of these Brahmanas. then Vaishyas also can get protection under these Kshatriyas. And then the Shudras can serve these other three Varnas. And then the Varnashram Dharma somehow can be established. But still, in Kali Yuga, it is going to be practically impossible. Therefore, the only way in Kali Yuga is the path of Bhakti. In the path of Bhakti, one focuses more on the spiritual duties that are common to all rather than the material duties of the four Varnas and the four Ashrams. That doesn't mean that these material duties of the Varna and Ashram are to be discarded. For example, if one is a devotee of Lord Krishna, doesn't mean that one should not follow the duties if one is a householder or a brahmachari or a sannyasi. No, one must follow. But it is difficult to follow all the rules and regulations pertaining to the ashrams and varnas in Kali Yuga. We are not capable now. If one really goes into detail into what is expected of a real Brahmin, real Kshatriya, real Vaishya, real Shudra even, or real Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, one will faint. It is not possible for us in Kali Yuga to do all these things. But to the extent that is possible for us, under guidance, we can do. But the primary focus should be on developing spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So by following the path of Bhakti, one becomes a Vaishnava, a devotee. And then whatever may be one's bodily constitution, one may be by physical nature a Shudra, Vaishya or anything, but if one has become a devotee of Lord Krishna, then one must be considered superior to even a Brahmana. This is a very, very important point. It is a big point, but still I'm just saying here in short that a Vaishnava is considered superior to even a Brahmana. Why? Because a Brahmana is supposed to know Brahma. Brahma janati iti Brahmanaha. One who knows spiritual science. But generally, even a Brahmana is still on the Sattva-guna, which is still material. And at most, usually, those who are Brahmanas of this nature, they have understanding only of the impersonal aspect of the Lord, the Nirakar. But it is only the devotee who has understanding of God as a person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Of course, any Brahmana may also become a Vaishnava. Then he becomes a Brahmana Vaishnava or a Vaishnava Brahman. But even if one is not a Brahmana by nature, if one becomes a Vaishnava, one becomes superior to a Brahmana. What to speak of Kshatriya and others. So one should never see a devotee according to caste, creed and community. In the community of devotees, one should never say, oh, this devotee is from a Shudra family. This devotee is from this family. No. For devotee, everything is equal. There is no question of Varna because it is on the spiritual level. But nevertheless, one doesn't become a pure devotee overnight. It takes time. Therefore, the bodily propensities, the material influence of the three gunas is very strong. Therefore, Varnashram Dharma still has some relevance today. Because even though Lord Krishna has made bhakti so easy for us, still we are not able to accept fully and become pure devotees overnight. So therefore Prabhupada said, I have done 50% of the job by spreading this Krishna consciousness and starting with few brahmanas. Now you do the balance 50% of recreating Varnashram Dharma with Vaishnavas brahmanas at the helm. And then Prabhupada said, then the devotees can rule the world. So then some devotees told Prabhupada, but then will you become the king? So Prabhupada said, no, I will become the guru of the king. I will not become king. King will be some Kshatriya. But the Brahmana doesn't want these positions. He will become the advisor to the king. So this is the future. In this way, the Varnashram system, to the extent that is possible, in a Krishna conscious way, with a Krishna conscious goal and objective, should be reintroduced in the human society. That is one of the objectives of this Krishna consciousness movement, started by Srila Prabhupada in recent times. So, there is other things also to talk about over here. The other half of this verse, which we have not got time to discuss, We will discuss that next Saturday. And then we will go on to the other verses. But because this verse contains the very important concept of Varna and the Varnashram Dharma, so it was important that we should discuss in detail and get this concept very clear. Because this is a great misunderstanding in the minds of people. Caste system. People are always criticizing this Varnashram Dharma by saying, oh, this caste system is the cause of so many problems. SC, ST, and then this reservation system, Mandal Commission, this thing, that, so many problems are there. Dalits and this party, it's so confusing situation now. And politicians have exploited this to the hilt. But this is because people have not got understanding of what the real Varnashram system is. What people today call the caste system is only Asuri Varnashram. It is the perverted Varnashram system. Real Varnashram is Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. That is the real Varnashram, where all perform their respective duties and eventually please Lord Krishna with their endeavors. So we will have darshan now. After that we will have question answers and then prasadam. Today is Ekadashi. So we are very happy that all of you have come here today. Thank you. Hare Krishna.